Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Ooh,
all right. Oh, fuck me. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 291. This is Jorge.
Buenos dias. Yo soy Matty Ding Dongs.
Hey.
Yay, another remote episode. Woo.
Yeah. Wait, did we make sure Rhett clicked his snowball on Discord? It might be picking up his headphone. No, tap it again. Nope. Tap your headphones. Like the headphone mic.
I'm like, what?
Tap your headphone mic. Like
right
here.
By your face. Oh, we got to redo that, huh?
Yeah, right here.
This?
Yeah,
the microphone. The fucking, like right here, right? Like.
Like what?
The little microphone.
Like right here.
No, it's in line on the cord. It's like a little rectangle.
On the cord.
Keep going.
On your left.
No, further up. On your left ear.
Oh, yeah, really?
Huh.
Yeah, I went and connected this shit. Hey, let me answer your fucking question instead of getting a bunch of Simon Says bullshit. So I went and connected the shit. This is the input output or whatever.
Hello.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. It's good.
Yeah, when you tapped it though, it didn't.
Maybe it's just like.
Oh, it's probably rejecting. Oh. It's probably rejecting that.
It's probably clipping.
That's a good album.
You listen to it?
No.
All right, let's do this again.
Did you hear Crimson King?
Okay.
What about
what
Crimson King? What?
I guess he's on streaming services now. Is that like old
he's
news?
He's on King.
Yes, that.
Them? It?
The actual king.
I don't know.
He's on Spotify now. The king himself.
Yeah. Neil Young just went on Spotify
it's
too.
It's like King Diamond. It's the
hell
king.
Yeah. King Diamond. It's one dude with like some other guys hanging out in the back.
All right, here. Let's do it again. My God. My God. Jesus Christ. Oh, wait. Can you make sure that your mic is selected properly?
I did. Hey, man. It sounded like he was far away in like a hallway. Just wanted to make sure.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 191. 291. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
And this is Red.
That sounds actually pretty good when you do that.
You said it right into the microphone. Oh, yeah, talk
my
like super
God.
Close.
We're here we are again via the internet coming to you from our respective houses.
Yeah. Super fun.
This is actual torture for us.
Yeah. Remote
recordings are fucking
somehow we run somehow without the driving we run more late and it is more dysfunctional. Yep. That's unbelievable.
That's because it involves me and Rhett having to do things
up. I had some troubleshooting problems earlier that I took care of, so you know, it's all good.
Don't give him another window to say we should have done a run through last night.
Oh God. Haven't already done it before. With Tom,
it's been months. It's been lots of months.
What?
Lots of months. It's since we did a remote episode.
Yeah, with Tom.
I think it's been since May. Yeah, Mutant Black.
Yeah, since May. It's been.
Oh, no, he's talking in Darkness Falls. No, he did Darkness Falls. He did Darkness.
Oh,
Falls.
Darkness Falls. That's right. That movie sucks.
Yes, it does.
I disagree. In fact,
so bad.
Isn't that the one where the one-star review is like, oh, they don't give any analysis? Like, it's fucking Darkness Falls, man.
Yeah, what do you want? It's a movie about the fucking Tooth Fairy.
And not like a good Tooth Fairy either.
No.
You remember how, like, you said before, like, how can you do a podcast if you don't really listen to podcasts? So I tried listening to some podcasts. I'm not going to say what podcasts they are, but there's a lot of shitty horror podcasts out there. Just saying.
I mean, careful with what you're saying there, brother.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to name names, but you know, I just decided to just check out some randos, and I was like, "This is not good."
I just mean random. We're probably considered one of the shittier ones.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. At least I have fun.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only thing that matters.
So I don't think it's shitty, but I'm biased.
Because you're on it?
Because we're on. I'm on it. Yeah.
So I guess we should address the reason why we're recording.
I mean, we really don't need to, but if you'd like to, go ahead.
No, it's because Alia got COVID, so that's super fun. And, you know, we were flirting with fate the whole time, and now she got it. And, yeah, so I'm stuck at home. She's stuck in a hotel, and we have to record remotely.
Flirting with fate? Have you been fucking reading Shakespeare since she's been gone, or what? What's going on? What's going on?
I haven't been doing anything since she's been gone. It sucks.
Since you've been gone.
You know, it's like if I had something to do, like, you know, I was on a trip.
I'm so moving on. Yeah.
It's a good song.
Yeah, the singing sounds so good over
it. It's all disjointed and terrible. My God.
And then Discord is like, oh, you're being too loud, and it'll like stop recording you.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So I did want to ask earlier, but I wanted to save it for the show. How is she doing?
She's good. She's been fine the whole time. Like, she's been asymptomatic, and she tested positive last Sunday, and I tested negative on Monday, and then again on Saturday, and then today. So she's in a hotel quarantining. I'm at home chilling, doing nothing, literally fucking nothing.
You're a strange guy, man. You asked me
you're
earlier,
just now finding this out.
He asked me earlier, Matt. He goes, dude, I've got like all this money burning a hole in my pocket. What should I do? And I listed off like an infinity of things, and he goes, nah, I already got it. Yeah, nah, I don't need it. I'm boring. Work. I just don't. I
so boring.
Have you thought about moving up a tier, like from weed to like, I don't know,
to meth,
hard drugs, you know?
Maybe. Nah, can't do that.
I mean, right now there's a pandemic, but if you want to get really involved, you can be part of the heroin epidemic also.
I mean, that's true. I've never been much of an overachiever though. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, you just have to stay well, bro. People won't even know you're high. That's the thing, dude.
I mean, no, that's bad news. Bad news. I don't want to be broke either. I just want to do something fun. I just want to like entertain myself for a little while. A little retail therapy, you know?
You hit a wall though where like you've ordered enough shit off the internet and now it just doesn't, the thrill is gone.
Yep. I just rub my little merchant dick raw and it just never spits anything out. Never any joy.
Well, you know what too? Because like, you can find anything now too. So where before it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I found this. It's like, you can literally, you fucking Google the thing and it's like, oh, there's that fucking VHS of this fucking movie. And
I was going to do that. I wanted to buy Haunting Ground. I've been wanting to play that for a while. And last year it was like $80. And I looked it up the other day and it was like $380.
Nice.
In a year.
Could you not find a PS5? Yeah. Was that also out?
I haven't been able to find a PS5 either. I've been checking, and then Tom was talking about how he's loving the new Xbox, but like it's not any different other than being faster. And so I started looking for an Xbox. Can't get one of those either.
Xcox.
But then realistically, I wouldn't even play that because I'd just play PC.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, you're just a...
I need to be able to get out.
You're an old white bitch.
I am.
Just it's your lot in life to save your money and just stay at home now, dude.
I'm just gonna stay home and grow my beard and my fingernails and just
put your piss in mason jars.
Yeah, it's sun tea.
Oh God, what was that thing a while ago, like ages ago in internet time, where people were like fermenting their own shit? What's his name did a video about it? Wang did a video about it.
Yeah, and you like huff it or something.
Jenkum,
right?
Jenkum, like, that was it. Jenkum.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like an African drug, I think, right? Or you like take your shit and I think like piss and like some dirt or sugar or something, and you put it in a fucking bottle and you let it just chill.
Putrid as fuck.
Yeah, it gets super putrid, and then you just huff it and you get like really fucking high.
I'm almost certain. I'm almost certain it's a hoax, but I could be wrong on that.
I don't know, dude. I don't know either. I think I've seen a thing about it. Jankum, did you look it up right now?
It's drugs. It's a hoax.
Oh, come on.
Nah. So we've got our end of the year wrap up coming up next year. Have you guys watched anything
next year?
This year, next week. My God.
Yeah, next week
to catch up. I mean, to see if anything's missing.
I don't remember what I've talked about, but looking back in the last 2 weeks, I watched Alone, which I think Rhett's seen.
Oh yes, 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 bro. Yes.
Okay, we were talking earlier about how
I don't remember a thing about it, but I loved it.
No. So I was gonna say, like, where I don't remember shit about movies, like I remember that movie. That movie stuck with like non-stop thrill ride from like minute one, I mean maybe like minute three, but until the very end there's just like shit happening all the time, and it's real good.
Yeah, it was one of my, well, I guess I don't want to like ruin any surprise or any, but I enjoyed it a lot from all the movies I watched last year. I watched it probably back in, I believe, October or early November.
I think it premiered at Telluride. I think it was one of the ones they did on like their sneak peek, like to test out the servers.
Right. But yeah, very sparse film, very minimal, and extremely effective, really well directed. Yeah, man. Right. I'm glad you enjoyed it as much as you did. Did you watch it for me or no?
When we get to what I've watched, I'll let you guys know what I've cut up on, and I'll probably add that to the list.
Since we have a little bit more time to get to it. I'm kind of loving it because like I took a lull with watching new movies, and now I'm like, oh fuck yeah, I got another week. I watched one of Rhett's favorite movies of the year, The Turning.
Oh my god. Oh. Yeah, that's in the other top five for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That movie's a huge pile of shit. That's all I'm gonna say about that. I watched
based on the same source material as Bly Manor.
Yeah, Haunting of Bly Manor. You
were watching it, and fucking Jorge, he's like, this is exactly Bly Manor, same thing, it's the same character name, same everything. And then someone like tells him, yeah, it's based on the same book. It's like, oh, okay.
So I didn't realize.
Oh,
so the Turning.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's based on the same source material. And
the turn of the screw, whatever. They made an older film called The Innocents from the early 60s is also based on it. Anyway.
I'm really happy I watched Bly Manor before The Turning, because if I would have known what was going to happen in Bly Manor, like before I saw it, it would have just kind of ruined the whole movie or the whole show. So I'm really glad I didn't know. But either way, Bly Manor was done way better. I watched 2020's Relic. it was very okay. do you like The Babadook? Because that's what it is. Like, almost, it's like from Australia or New Zealand. It's a female director's directorial debut. It's about like a physical manifestation of like some kind of fucking ailment. It's like the exact same movie.
Some kind of helmet?
Pretty much, without a monster. So like, it was a physical manifestation of grief in the Babadook. And then this one is like a physical manifestation of loneliness or dementia or Alzheimer's or some bullshit.
Some real bullshit. Yes, this is absolutely horrifying. That's the
thing. I don't care about those things. So it's lost on me. This is one of those. Oh, feelings and human life are scary things. Well, yeah, fucking get over it. Like, you know what's scarier? Like somebody with a knife, like coming and stabbing you.
This motherfucker has been without his wife for a week, and he does not relate to being scared of feelings. Like, come on now, dude.
I'm bored and I'm lonely. But like,
there you go.
But I don't think it's dreadful. It sucks, but it's not like anything to like Because
it's only been a week, dude. It's only been a week. Wait until all the walls close in and you're in your fucking elderly, your golden years, and you're all alone.
That's where I'm headed anyway. I'm going to be old and alone anyway.
That's adorable that you think you're going to outlive Alia.
Oh, no way. No way, dude. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to go way quicker. It's probably going to be in a car accident. Just saying.
God damn.
No, that's not how I think you're going to go.
No, I've been dreaming about dying in car accidents since I was like 7 years old. That's how it's gonna be.
That's not pretty good.
Are you the driver in these accidents, or are you the passenger?
It varies. Sometimes I'm in the front seat, sometimes I'm in the back seat.
But I mean, when you're in the front, are you driving the fucking car?
Okay. Yeah.
I just didn't know if you're riding shotgun in the front seat or not.
Well, I don't know. Other people's driving scares the shit out of me anyway, so.
Right.
It's terrifying. So
those dreams are about control, dude.
It's like other people's driving and dog dicks. They're like right there on the same level. Mm-hmm. It is. It probably is about not being in control. Cool. I talk about that all the time.
Cool.
I watched The Swerve. It's a Dread Central movie. I liked it quite a bit. I feel like you got to watch it twice to fully understand like the little nuances of things that are going on. But the last 30 minutes are just batshit insane. I liked it a lot. And then I watched another movie called Deerskin, which was really good. Mm-hmm. It's about a like guy who's trying to go viral online, and you know, it's like commentary on social media, blah blah blah, but he's trying to like get himself over online by murdering people in basically his Uber. It's fun. It's mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Deerskin, though. Deerskin is fucking crazy. Okay. Watch Deerskin.
Neat. Are you good?
How about you, Jorge?
Okay, so I'm going to go mm-hmm. through this list semi-quick and before I forget. So I watched the first three episodes of the new Stand series. It's okay. It's not good. It's okay, but it's better than the 90s one by a good stretch. The Man in Black is pretty good. I don't know if I'd recommend it. It's weak, but it's watchable. Does that make sense?
Is that because you're like a big Stephen King fan? Like, do you think like normies would dig it? Or
no? Maybe. I just think it suffers from the same fate as the original and also the book. To be honest with you, that there's so many fucking characters that you have to. Sort of identify with, and it's impossible to keep track of everyone, and their characterizations are really hokey. But that's just kind of the deal. I mean, they're following a spirit black woman through a cornfield. Like already that's just kind of hokey to begin with. But yeah, it's okay. Like I guess if you like The Stand, check it out. But it's not very good. I'll keep
if watching. You stand the stand.
So I watched. I'm just going to go real quick through these. Freaky was a real big thumbs down.
Fuck yeah. Wait a minute. No, don't go that quick. Wait, let's talk about it.
No. We'll talk. Dude, this is rapid fire, that's brother.
It's going to be on his end of the year list. Watch.
Okay. Fine. I'll be quiet.
We watched a little movie called Love and Monsters, which was kind of an adorable post-apocalyptic love story with the kid from the Maze Runner. It was, it's good for teenagers, whatever. Watch the Wolf of Snow Hollow. That was pretty fun. I quite enjoyed that. Yeah. I highly recommend if you like werewolf movies and family drama with an alcoholic dad. Like, that's also a big part of it.
Hey, I can relate.
Let's see. What was on Shudder? Oh, we watched Anything for Jackson, which we'll talk about tonight. The Dark and the Wicked, which I highly recommend. What else? I think that might be it. It was something else. All I've got them all written down. The end of the year George is gonna be stuff. There's gonna the end of the year is gonna this, be a fucking doozy, dude.
This motherfucker watched some movies. Did you hear all that shit?
I think you hurt his feelings with the whole you've only watched six movies this year.
Well, dude, I wouldn't go there.
So pre me like catching up a little
pre-com.
Bit. I didn't realize how many movies we had actually watched that were from 2020 until I had them all written down on a list. It's kind of wild. It was still like 30 movies, I think.
Well, yeah, an easy way to do that for me is I go check the Instagram posts and I'm like, oh, these are all the episodes we've done.
Yeah.
Well, you know? Or you just go through Spotify and see the list of the episodes.
Although the year is pretty front loaded for me in terms of what is.
Yeah, that's when Underwater came out.
What's pretty good?
Color Out of Space.
And what's not
Color Out of Espacio.
What's not pretty good? Oh, Jesus. What about you, Rhett?
I watched a fucking shitload of stuff. Let me try to put this in little categories here. So the rewatches real quick. Sophia. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Insisted on rewatching Unhinged, which you guys continue to be doing yourselves.
Insisted, by the way.
Yes, insisted. She did. Rhett, she did.
Okay, hold on. I have a very serious question. Where does this rank Room, Fanatic, Unhinged?
Okay, whoa. Okay, let me. No, I'll
need that. I need the insanity level.
Unhinged is not as bad a film as those. However, it's not a good film. Okay, but it is a guilty pleasure, and it is very fucking funny, not on purpose, from what I can tell. Also, so. Where does it rank? It's nowhere near The Room or
what the I'll watch it tonight. I'll watch it after this show.
Yes, watch Russell Crowe fucking being morbidly obese.
Is he really that fat or is that like a suit?
Dude, I saw a picture of him like outside of the movie. He's gigantic.
He is. What? And I don't mean just to be a superficial dick. I'm saying though that when you watch this behemoth Russell Crowe barely all sweaty and greasy and barely able to breathe and like breathing much heavier than I do on the show and like fucking doing all manner of shit that shouldn't be happening. And I mean, as soon as it starts off, Matt, like I shouldn't say, I will not say more.
Don't ruin it.
This thing starts off and it keeps going. There's people on Discord and the Patreon that can confirm these allegations I've made against this film.
They can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, so we rewatched that, and it was a lot. It's a fun movie. I think we're good on that for a while, though. We finished Chernobyl because she had not seen it, and that remains. That is one of the best things. I don't want to say like best miniseries or any, but one of the best things I've ever seen. Period.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it is really great. I would like to spend some time, like Jorge mentioned, and get into the podcast that accompanies it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I have yet to do that. That's what I was reading up about it. And I'd like that. What people were talking about, unorthodox Christmas movies. And I was thinking about Shane Black and how all his fucking movies are Christmas movies. And so we popped in a little film called The Last Boy Scout, which is, have you ever seen that movie, Matt? Probably not, but.
Actually, I have because Danielle Harris was in it when she was like eight.
That's crazy too. Cause
is that Damon Wayans or Cuba Gooding Jr.?
It's Damon Wayans, Bruce Willis, Tony Scott, Ridley Scott's brother directed it, and he later jumped off a bridge when he found out he had terminal cancer. Great stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah. It starts out a football game where the guy's trying to get to the end zone, and he shoots a player on the field. Like, do you remember that?
Yeah, he pulls it out of his helmet, right?
Yeah, it's a crazy fucking movie. It's got that early 90s dysfunctional family fucking stuff going on, like, very strong. Great Christmas movie. So let's get to this. I watched a film called Fateful Findings, by this guy named Neil Breen. Matt's aware of this guy. Some of the people on Patreon are like, I thought Tommy Wiseau was like the one, and he is. Don't get me wrong. Neil Breen is this other filmmaker who is like, he is the next level, next generation of so bad it's funny filmmaking, and I need to see his other fucking work. But insanity, dude! Like it is unbelievably. It's not just that's the thing. If I say it's bad, it's every decision in it, and every line of dialogue, and every delivery of every line, and every camera angle, and everything that occurs is so fucking odd that it just adds up to this. It's a super interesting movie. And the decisions it makes on how awful it can become. And it's fucking absolutely hilarious. So if you're into that kind of stuff, Neil Breen is this. I had just heard about him. So I'm late to Matt. You knew about him, right?
Yeah. I'd heard about him on How Did This Get Made?
Okay. Yeah. I'm late to the, he's only been around a few years, but still. I watched Troll 2. because we were on a real roll.
Oh my God.
Right. And if you know, then you know about that one. In line with that kind of stuff, I watched a movie called Brahms, The Boy 2.
Oh, fuck. Why would you do that to yourself?
I got so excited. Like, cause Sophie's like, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay up and rent Brahms. Like, fuck.
Had you seen the first one?
No.
What?
All I knew was just some fucking killer doll and shit, you know? But
no Katie Holmes, way, I didn't know dude. Katie
Holmes. Yeah, I didn't know Katie Holmes was in it. I didn't know. Yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if it would crack the top five worst of the year, but it makes me regret that it's only that a top out five.
This year?
Yeah, it came out 2020.
Oh, it's shit.
I will not be Holmes. Revisiting that.
Universe. I might have to. I didn't watch the second one. Wait, didn't we like the first one?
We did like the first one, surprisingly enough. That's why I was without context. I can't believe you watched Brahms.
I did not.
That's amazing.
I kept reading it was one of the worst movies of the year. So I was like, I got to watch it. You know, so there was that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And then I watched Come to Daddy, which I enjoyed the first half of it. Extremely, like a lot, like as Matt thought I would. I didn't think the second half, once it started answering the mysteries and going to where it should be more, I think more entertaining. I didn't think the second half was as good as the first. But still, I'd recommend it. I think, I do think the first half is a lot stronger than the second half, a lot more to my liking. In any case, but that was the one with Elijah Wood. I watched a movie called Hunter Hunter. Did you guys hear about that?
You said it's that not was, the one based on the video game.
You not said that was one. Good, right?
It's fucking, yeah, it's pretty damn solid. It's a survivalist thriller, and you're like, oh, that's not a horror movie. But then it is. Like, whatever it looks like, it is a horror film. And it fucking has one of the bleakest, one of the most brutal endings of this year, and one of the best kills of this year. I don't know if it would crack my top five. I mean, but... Devin Sawa's in it, and you know that means you have to watch. So there's a couple other people in it that I can't really name offhand, but just a really good survivalist thriller that turns into a really brutal horror film. But has to do with fur trappers and a rogue wolf and another dude in the forest, and bad shit happens, and a woman and her daughter have to defend themselves while their husband goes trying to find this wolf, and there's bear traps and a lot of flesh and a lot of skinning and all sorts of like that. Right.
Lots of skinning.
Yeah, it's a fucking bleak ass ending, dude. Honestly, I mean, I can't kind of sell that enough. What else? What else we got here? I watched a movie called Spontaneous. Any of you guys heard about this, or any two of you?
You told me about it, but
any of the two I haven't.
It's a
comedy, right?
It's a comedy horror, and it's a high school movie, and it's about these high school kids. They start. That was 2020 indie film. They start spontaneously not combusting but exploding, so blood and guts splatter everywhere. And of course, it's like, well, this is ridiculous, and where's the explanation? They don't really give one. But the thing is that people settle into the reality of it very quickly, and then people have to quarantine and they have to do all this stuff. And so it's basically about the experience of what it must be like as a high school kid these days with high school shootings, with viruses, with all sorts of shit, because they don't know who's next and who's going to explode next. It's actually pretty damn well done. I mean, I think I didn't love the movie, but, I liked it a lot, and there's not much wrong with it, and it's really original. I think it goes on a little too long, like I am with this list, but it's a fucking long list. I watched Palm Springs because I heard good shit about that all year.
I like that movie quite a bit.
Yeah, man. I was like, why did I wait all year to watch this? You know, but and I was like, oh, because it was called fucking Palm Springs, and I knew nothing about it.
And
but
it had fucking what's his name Sandberg in it. It had no chance of being good, but then it was.
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of like his movies.
I like Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Never Stop, Nonstop. Yeah, that's a good. That's actually a good flick. You're right. You're right.
That one was good. But I really enjoy that movie, and I liked him in it. I liked the lead actress. I liked every all of its ideas. I texted Jorge at the beginning of that because I was trying to fucking bug him. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? Because I was really trying to figure out. I mean, you can't figure out what's going on in the first 30 minutes of that movie until things are explained to you.
Yeah.
Pretty damn strong, though.
Well, even the ending, that moment where you see the fucking dinosaurs, it's just so out of like left field. And you're like left trying to explain that to yourself. It's really funny.
Right. Yeah. There isn't. You just kind of like, oh, I accept it because it's cool.
Yeah.
You know. But then Hunt for the Wilder People, which is a Taika Waititi film. He's the one he did before Thor Ragnarok. It's got Sam Neill and it takes place in New Zealand. And it's pretty hilarious. It's a really, I'll use the word, it's a very cute film. It's not a little too fucking cute, as Jorge says, but it is cute. And if you like Taika Waititi's humor, he did, you know, What We Do in the Shadows and Flight of the Conchords and Thor Ragnarok and Jojo Rabbit. I'd highly recommend that one. I saw one. Jojo Rabbit. I know you do. I think you should smoke a lot of weed and watch that movie with Alia because it's very cute and very
Jojo funny. Rabbit?
That one too, but
we already smoked a lot of weed and watched Jojo Rabbit.
No, Hunt for the Wilder People. I watched a movie called Bacurau, which is a Colombian film from 2020. That is very similar, not initially, but it morphs into something very similar to The Hunt. It's kind of like a riff on The Most Dangerous Game, but approximately 4 or 5 times better than The Hunt. Much fucking better than that movie. And I would recommend that movie to fucking both of you, particularly Jorge. I think Matt would like the second half much more than the first, but it's one of the best films I saw last year. I had heard about it over and over again. It was really well regarded, but it's a hard movie to classify. I won't be including it in my horror list because it's horror adjacent, but it's got some good grindhouse little moments here and there.
It's got the sauce.
George, how about you? You watch the first half. I'll watch the second half, and then we'll tell each other about it.
And then we'll talk about it.
And then I'll be like, I don't remember anything.
I watched, we started watching Llamageddon last night. You guys heard of this? It's a llama from outer space that kills people.
Nice. I saw somebody on the Discord post it.
I think it was Scary Little Mary. We watched Ex Machina last night, which Sophia had seen. I fucking love that movie. That's better than the last time I watched it. There's so much going on in every scene. I mean, there's just so much shit in there. So then after that, it was like, well, let's watch Llamageddon. And
yeah, because you have to go for the upper downer.
She kept saying, I'm going to bed. I'm going to bed. But then it was like 5 minutes went by and 5 minutes went by and 5 minutes. So we almost got away.
And then you threatened to turn it off. And you're like, no, I'm just going to turn it off.
Yeah, that's my thing. No, but it's a fucking awful movie, but it was pretty. It's one of those where it knows it's bad, so it's not going to be as special because it's trying to be bad. That even being said, it did make some interesting bad decisions. So, we watched Return to Oz.
That's a good one.
Return to Oz is fucked up. Like, I'm watching it because I hadn't seen it since I was like 12. And like, I'm like Googling like fucking alchemical symbolism and fucking masonry symbolism and fucking Return to Oz. And unsurprisingly, it's popping up like fucking dozens of articles. So anyway, that movie is a trip.
Yep.
I think it's just a strange idea too. They get the Wizard of Oz IP. And they're like, hey, let's make this into a horror film for kids. Like, what the fuck? That's such a weird fucking idea.
Yeah, it's good. You know? That's a good flick, man. I saw Dread Central had posted something about it recently in the last like couple weeks. And somebody was like, yawn, not another remake. And I was like, what? What are you talking about, you moron?
Like they weren't familiar with Return to Oz?
Yeah.
Yo, have y'all seen The Wiz?
Damn. Yeah, that shit. That's on Disney Plus, by the way. Good old Disney Plus has. No. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Have you seen The Wiz?
I never watched The Wiz.
You should check it out.
I didn't like that 70s color palette from those fucking music numbers I saw.
You'll like it. You'll like it.
The Vast of Night. This is a very low budget film. Jorge watched it earlier this year or last year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he thought it was pretty good. He thought it was okay. I went into it with some backstory, so I knew it was coming from very humble means and whatnot. the movie, it's the directing debut of this guy. What he does with his storytelling, with his camera, with very little, is fucking pretty amazing. By the time it ended, I was pretty enraptured by the whole thing. It has to, you might like the movie, Matt. I really doubt. I you know, I think you would appreciate how minimal it is. Maybe.
Which one?
It's called The Vast of Night.
It's hey man, it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a slower sci-fi Pontypool.
Okay.
He's all okay. I don't like sci-fi. No,
I'm looking it up. I like Pontypool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same-ish.
I think
idea.
You'd appreciate.
Hey, but it's like aliens or.
Well, it's the idea of aliens. That's the thing. That's why it's so.
The cover
effective.
Looks very Star Trek.
Oh no no don't no, don't let that deter you. it's on Amazon. Amazon picked up the rights after it was a festival darling for a couple years. Darling. And then okay, I saved these couple here. Am I done? Oh, Bedknobs and Broomsticks I watched. That's a weird fucking Disney
Dude, that's
movie.
That's one of my mom's favorites.
It's an old white bitch movie full of fucking occult. It's
absolutely an old white bitch movie.
So full of fucking occultism. It is unbelievable. I'm not just talking about, oh, she's a witch. I'm saying like the Star of Astaroth and all sorts of shit and the stuff they say in Latin. Anyway, I watched a movie called Wonder Woman 1984.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, that was boy. That was something else, man.
How far did you get into it, Jorge?
Oh, I finished it, dude, cuz Ronnie and I started it. We got about halfway through and I think she was bored beyond belief of that film, so we shut it off. And then I had to finish it because somebody had mentioned something about the White House and I was like, "Okay, well, let me at least get there." But
yeah, they said it was good. Wait, fast forward to the White House. Like, I'm all, why? Okay, go on.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the White House?
It's bad. All of it's bad. I'm kind of in disbelief at the drop in quality from the first Wonder Woman to this one. It's fucking absurd.
Right. And people are, you know, cause, Jenkins, what's the lady's first name who directed the first one? She directed Monster. I'm having a
Patty.
So Patty Jenkins, right? And people are like, oh, don't give up on Patty Jenkins. I'm not giving up on her, but then they're like, maybe it was studio interference. It's like, dude, no, she actually wrote this one also. She had a lot more freedom on this one. I think it's just hubris. I think sometimes things get fucking overblown. The movie was worked on for 3 years, which usually is a good thing. But I think in this case, they just started every idea they had. No one was fucking saying no.
Right.
And it was just, you know, and fucking what's her name? Kristen Wiig. Get the fuck out of here with your clothes and all of this shit, dude. Yeah. Like, dude, I don't hate her as an actress or something, but when I read that was who was playing her, I'm like, okay, that doesn't seem like good casting. But we'll see. Then I saw the trailer. I'm like, that doesn't look good. And then we see the movie. It's like, God damn. And then when they show her like in full tiger mode.
Yeah.
It's like, it's cats.
Yeah. It's like cats. Yeah. It's Uncanny Valley. Dude, it was so funny. I was listening. I don't remember if it was a podcast or some video, but they're talking about, you know how she wishes to be an apex predator.
Yeah.
They were like, well, what if she had like turned into like one of the greatest apex predators and turned into a fucking killer whale?
Yeah, so the stone fucking is being very like, yeah, here, you're an apex predator. Yeah, that would have been better. But Pedro Pascal, I don't know what the fuck he's
miscast,
doing.
Miscast like I couldn't believe.
And there's a literal scene for our listeners where someone's like, the FCC, he's like, the FCC, the DDD, and I'm like,
really?
Yes, Matt. I posted it on Discord. Because I post shit all the time, so you're like, oh, here goes fucking Red again. He said it, dude.
I have my Discord notifications turned off because there's too many of them.
Oh, I don't have the notifications. No, fuck that. That's too much.
Oh, yeah.
But he says it, dude, like straight up, just like that. And I'm like, God damn, that's amazing. But that was my favorite part. Anyway, fucking big misfire on that one.
And the idea that they would start the movie with this like 11-minute scene of toddler version of Wonder Woman is like, bro, what are you thinking?
Well, and also, it didn't even do like the stupid, oh, she has to learn her lesson, so this is going to come up later. No, it had nothing to do with anything.
Well, the whole like, the whole lesson is like, cheaters don't prosper, dude. You know, and it's like, I think we got it. Like, we understand.
There's some dialogue in there. Like, Wonder Woman's looking up. She's like, so many things. And they, you remember the Christmas scene they have at the end?
Yeah.
They tacked that on because when Warner Brothers decided it was going to be released in December, they went back and did reshoots to tack on that fucking Hallmark Christmas scene.
Oh, her looking at the star?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, I would be remiss if I forgot to mention, she brings back Steve Trevor with a wish, right? Which is Chris Pine's character from the first one. But he doesn't come back. He comes back in the body of another dude. And then she proceeds to fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And they live in his apartment, which means that apparently this guy's soul, number one, must be misplaced somewhere. So this is like Possessor, right?
Yeah.
And then then she's just living in his apartment. And it's like, does he not have a family? Does he not have friends? Does she care that this guy is going to be homeless and lose his job when he comes back? Like, none of this is okay. Because also, by the way, last time I checked, if you're fucking a body of someone who's unconsenting,
that's called
rape.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a bizarre fucking thing to show up.
Well, I like the idea that the wish stone is like that. That's its limitation. Like, it can't just create a human out of thin air. It has to invade a body. But no, it can create a wall out of thin air, and that's no big deal. But a body, no.
Right. What was the decision making process? Yeah, no, absolutely, dude.
Like, it doesn't. And the crazy thing is, it doesn't add anything to the it doesn't add to the film. Like, I'm not like, oh, dude, that's a really cool contrivance that you guys came up with. No, just give him a fucking body.
No, it's a weird fucking thing to throw in there. It's like if I'm getting on Reddit, it's suspiciously weird to throw that little thing in there. And on that note, the other film I watched was Soul, which was the Pixar one, which is also involves people occupying other bodies momentarily. So, did you watch Soul with your kids,
not
George,
yet,
or no?
No, my Quinn is she's kind of a sensitive kid, so any conflict in those movies, she kind of gets a little teared up, so she doesn't enjoy it.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, you had mentioned that before, but it was great. It was great. It's the same guy who directed Up and Inside Out for Pixar, so it's very conceptual again, like Inside Out. I think there's a lot of visual manifestations of things. You could only do some of this stuff in animation. I think he's keenly aware of that. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross do about half the score. The other parts of the score are arranged jazz pieces. Initially I thought it kind of had like kind of a soft resolution, but then a couple days went by and I realized it's kind of a perfect resolution. But I'd highly recommend that movie. And if you're talking about movies where people are jumping into other bodies, I'd recommend Possessor and Soul and not Wonder Woman 84.
All right. Well, is there any news we should get to before we could talk about the movie, dudes?
None that I am aware of.
We're still in quarantine, everyone. We're still in quarantine.
Yep. Oh, there was two things I did want to address. One of them, for you two that can see, is this cool thing right behind me. One of our super awesome Patreon listeners, Zach Rainier, decided to spend, 30, 50 hours? I don't know, 3D printing our logo and sent it to us as a Christmas gift.
You say us, but
well,
you're,
he sent it to me.
You're lording over this thing.
Yeah,
this is staying, what he does.
It's staying right there.
I like the idea.
He says our logo.
I like the idea that you're the only one that gets to enjoy it.
Hey, you can enjoy it right there. You can also enjoy it by going to twitch.tv/whogoestherepodcast. And you can see it on all the streams right there.
I'm gonna come over to your house, steal that shit. It's gonna be like national treasure, dude.
I'll steal your Palmer from the thing.
That's fine.
It'll just be a swap. and then he wrote us a very nice note that I won't read because it's long.
Well, I'm glad you pulled it out to not read it.
I'll read it to you later. And then Retta in Arizona sent us a Christmas card
Very short, but it says, if I could have packaged the real, oh yeah, I guess I should show you what else she sent first. So she sent a picture of a shirtless Kurt Russell.
Oh,
autographed. Look at that. Autographed with a certificate of authenticity. So excellent. That's pretty tight.
Damn.
And then sent a Big Trouble in Little China card. And it says, if I could have packaged the real deal for you guys, I would. Next best thing. Love you. Thanks for making 2020 suck a little less, Retta. So
thank you, Retta. I was going to
show that to you guys at the show, but, you know, here we are. So
because of you and your wife.
Matt's real quick on the stick with the address to get shit to his house, isn't he?
Bro. I haven't said shit. Like, Zach messaged me and he's like, hey, where do I send stuff? And I was like, well, right here. And then
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like someone made a generous contribution of $20,000 to the podcast, but they sent it to me. So
right into my PayPal. It's so weird.
So crazy. All right. Well, that's it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk about anything for Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, and we're back.
Oh. We're back.
We take no break. We take no break today.
We take no break.
Just go. Hey, Matt.
Saw, dude.
What's up with Patreon, dude?
Bro, let's face it. 2020 sucked. 2021 is going to be so much better, right? New year, new you. You know what else is good? Go on to patreon.com/whogoesthere podcast. That'll make you feel all good inside, make you know that you're helping people do things that they enjoy and other people enjoy as well. See, we're giving back. And when you go to patreon.com/whogoesthere podcast, we're going to give you exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, and all this other stuff. We just sent out a whole bunch of shit for Christmas. And you could have got some too if you would have gone there just a little bit sooner.
Yeah,
we've got like three or four new homies right now. I don't have the list in front of me.
We got three new homies. We got Mr. Eric Bridges. What up, homie? Welcome.
Yep.
We got
he's a resub.
We got Robert Christensen. We've got to send a package out to him. And the homie Dion Collins is back from the dead.
Yeah, Dion. Damn, Dion is like old school, dude. Dion was from like episode 5.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Was there an episode? What was episode 5, George?
I don't know. You're the archivist of the show.
Sure am.
Uh-huh. That's actually Hans.
Yeah, that is Hans. Hans and Cooper killing it on that.
That's right. True. Well, while I look up this movie real quick, hold on.
2021,
turning over a new leaf. I promise. So the Who Goes There podcast watched 2020's Anything for Jackson, directed by Justin Dick, written by Keith Cooper.
Justin Dick.
Starring Sheila McCarthy, Julian Richings, Constantina Mantellos, Josh Crudas, Yannick Bisson, Lynette Ware, Claire Cavalier, Scott Cavalier, and a bunch of fucking, well, not that really that many other people, but yeah. Rhett, what'd you think of Anything for Jackson, which you already previously talked about?
I talked about it on a previous episode briefly with Mateo. What did you think, Jorge?
What did you think?
You know, I gotta tell you, I enjoyed most of it until like the last 10 minutes. I think once they introduce what's his name, Ian, I think it's just it falls apart and it does some weird stuff because, well, we'll talk about it. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. Last 10 minutes were kind of broke the movie for me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Ian sucked. This movie did some shit and it was some good shit. I think it's really, I like the way it's offset, like the horrible things that are being done with the fact that it's like this sweet old couple. Yeah, I agree. It's really great until the last 10 minutes and then it just gets all fucking dark song, silly business.
Whoa. Wait, dark song is fantastic.
The last 5 minutes of fucking Dark Song or Silly Business.
I see what you mean. I was like, whoa, pump the brakes there, bud.
The last 5 minutes, they're just like, what do we do? And it's like, well, I don't know. We got like another 50 grand in the budget. Like,
Giant Angel.
Something. Yeah.
Speaking of which, that was another film Sophia and I watched, and love that movie. I think the end of A Dark Song, by the way, is fine. I think their rendering of what the Holy Guardian Angel looked like is regrettable.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I think any Jack fuckery for Jackson is a good horror film. I enjoyed most of it, just like you two did. The ending, I would say maybe perhaps more than the last 10 minutes, maybe the last 20 minutes. I'm all for things flying off the fucking rails and getting zany at the end. I really am. I think that's probably obvious. I think it was a film in search of a fucking ending, though. And it's you could say, oh, it's ambiguous. Like, you know, she's in her car and I'm not trying to give spoilers, but the thing's crossing the road. And it's like, yeah, it's just really unsatisfying. Also, when you mentioned, I think Ian's introduction was fine. Again, how they wrap that character up, though, like when we don't really see him get his or anything. So that's not satisfying. But this film had a lot of stuff going on.
He's getting raped at the end, right? Is that how I understand it?
I didn't know.
That would have been cool, though.
I know what you're talking about. Like when she comes down the stairs and like that guy's doing something, but I didn't see Ian there.
I think he's on the ground. Yeah, I think it's like a rapist who's been brought back.
I sure hope you're right, because otherwise you got some real projection issues.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure honestly about that. But the elderly couple, like Matt mentioned, that's a great idea to have the elderly couple and how this she's very congenial and very nice lady. And once the reality of this stuff is accepted, you know, it's like, well, this there's a technical reality of this. This stuff works. So there's still an elderly couple and all that stuff, but they've decided to do this because it's a practical concern. That was treated really well. Also, it's like, well, do people do fucked up things? Yes. So if this stuff worked, would people do this kind of stuff? Yes.
Yeah.
So all of that, I'm on board with all the motivations.
Yeah, I think too, you're right. I think the magic-y stuff feels very grounded in the beginning, at least.
Yeah. Right. I agree, man. Like, and as they divulge more and more, it the more grounded it feels, the more creepy it feels.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple things which I didn't think were executed particularly well. I mentioned it to Matt previously in an episode a while back, was the stuff about the ghost. I think it's a good idea, but
yeah,
nonetheless, cinematically, you got this thing.
It was a little fucking cute.
Yeah, it was a little too fucking cute. You got a guy showing up, or not a guy, a daughter in this case, showing up with a ghost, like a sheet over him. And I'm like, nah, that's not as creepy. The idea is creepy,
right?
But then I see
they make the mistake of having two sort of entities happening, right? They're having the ghosts that are haunting them, but they're also having these demons that are trying to basically jump into the baby, right? And so because
I feel like there's a lone demon.
The way they explain it is that all hell has broken loose, basically. The gates are open for anybody to try to get into the baby.
For all the lost souls in purgatory, yeah.
And so I don't think, like, is their daughter in purgatory? That's kind of what I was wondering.
I think that is dark, like a Dark Songs type stuff. And that's kind of like demonology 101 stuff. The demon appears under the guise of the person that's not their daughter. I don't think. I think that the thing is disguising itself as their daughter, or it invites the notion that perhaps since you're fucking with this stuff, maybe now, because of that, wherever their daughter's spirit was, now they do have her daughter's spirit, because that's how the fucking mechanics of it work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe now she's being tortured in hell, basically, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, because they've set like some metaphysics in motion that make that fucking happen.
I did enjoy the entities or the ghosts, whatever you want to call them, that were sort of looping themselves. I thought that stuff was kind of interesting. The sort of like timey-wimey ghost versions. The one who was killing herself over and over like all day. Great little touch.
That was fucking great. No, I agree. That was, and it's one of the more, I haven't seen it done that way. You know what I mean? I haven't seen that in a film really, especially not in a supernatural sense of over and over again like that. Not that I can recall.
I feel like I've seen that somewhere and it was explained as like, you know, when you die, it's just like your energy is still there and it's just like an energy is caught in a loop of some kind.
To the earth. Whatnot.
Yeah. I can't remember what movie, but I feel like I've seen it done, but I really liked it in this. Stupid question. Was Jackson in the dead bird? Like when the bird man came in the room, like you remember that? Cause so like Jackson was there, like the little ghost of the baby. And then they had the mom on the bed.
The dog trickster?
I mean, kind of, but like, you know, then that the fucking, cause then the ghost of Jackson disappears, but then that bird man comes in and is kind of like, looking over the mom and then just disappears. You never see the ghost of Jackson anymore. And that's when they start assuming like, oh, he's in here.
I didn't know exactly. I remember, cause they sacrifice a bird.
Yeah. Right? No, so, they just find a dead bird, but they revive it.
Thank you. Yeah. And then, so they do the opposite, actually. They reanimate a dead bird. Right. Yeah. I don't know if that's, I think that maybe the manifestation, like it's trying to convey the idea that it's resurrected Jackson, right? Or it's beginning to. But again, like I think the way this shit works because of the way they're doing it, I personally don't think that Jackson was in the bird. I think it's something else. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of just wish Jackson was in the bird. Because
Jackson was a bird the whole time, dude.
I saw that bird man come out. I was like, dude, now we have to do Lord of Tears. Like, we gotta do another bird.
There's
gonna
be some assholes on fucking Discord are gonna be like, dude, I thought the same thing.
They're gonna be like, bro, me and my friends on Facebook were totally talking about how
every time Matt comes up with one of these zany ideas, I just always agree with him, dude. Man, fuck you know, that.
Our Discord smokes a lot of weed.
Our Discord does smoke a lot of weed. My God. Just fuck.
Oh man. But that's like the best. No, go ahead.
Speaking of the bird fucking guy, like that was one thing too. I didn't think the bird. When the bird guy comes out, don't you think he looks a little goofy?
You know, it was a little hard to tell just because it was so dark and he was so dark, but
I wish it was darker so it would like obscure it more because I saw it as I saw too much and I'm like, someone's wearing a fucking bird prop costume. Like,
yeah, it's not the costume isn't good enough to be lit that well. It had to be more obscured or better costume.
It may sound like a small gripe, but I'm like, no, this is the kind of things that pull me out of the movie where it's like the atmosphere is there. And then I'm like, the guy's in a fucking goofy ass Halloween costume. Like, you know, but, speaking of all those kind of things though, like the contortionist guy though.
Yep.
And all that. Oh, that's shit, so good.
That was fucking great. Like that.
What was that
like,
movie they did, where they had, Mama, right? Where they had like a contortionist do that and then they like changed it into like CG or did they actually have the contortionist? Contortionists are creepy as fuck. That must feel so good to be able to just do that shit to your body and scare the fuck out of people
until they hit like 50 and then it's just arthritis everywhere.
It's just all dead.
It's just all dead. Probably muscle tissue. Fuck. But yeah, I do like the ritual magic-y stuff. That's really fun, and I think it's really well done in this film until the end. I don't know what
all the violence and gore in this was amazing.
I love the people that like lose control in the house. Like the detective kills herself, the guy throws himself.
Fucking idiot with this snow shoveler thing,
wood chipper or whatever that was.
It's like a wood chipper for snow. Yeah,
that reverse wood chipper. That's probably my favorite little scene in the film. You know, it's like, it is working. You know,
because he was so fucking obnoxious and he just always wanted to talk to them. And like, they're having like a serious moment. He's like, hey, hey, Audrey. And then it's like, what the fuck do you want, bro? And then it's like, you're doing it right. Jackson's in there, fucking head in the.
Did you guys? Okay. Now, why did he want in on the into the house in the beginning? Did you guys get the feeling that he kind of knew what was going on beforehand?
I don't know. Because he was real weird about it.
Yeah, like he kept insisting to want to go into the house.
Why was the guy tripping about him shoveling the snow? Like, that's what I don't understand. It's like, okay, well, if you're trying to keep up
appearance, he wanted him away from the house.
Well, yeah, but they checked and like he was just right outside the door and you couldn't hear any screaming. So it was like soundproof enough.
I think too. Well, I mean,
and then if homeboy's running a fucking snowblower, is that what it is? A snowblower?
Yeah, I took it as too. The guy's invasive. You know what I mean? It's there's people like that where you just, they're trying to help you and you want them to get the fuck away, you know? So that's kind of, I took it like he's just being kind of like an old curmudgeon, like antisocial type dude. Partially. The other thing is that they got this lady in there tied up to fucking do satanic shit with. So
yeah,
combine those two and it's like, get the fuck off my lawn, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
That was, I think. And then, I like the parts too. What is the, remind me what the elderly guy does for a living. He's a doctor
OBGYN.
He's an OB. Yeah. He's gotta be an OB.
Right. And I thought, I mean, those little, even the little scenes work really well when they're at work and the cop comes there and then his receptionist fucking says something that fucking makes him look completely suspicious, you know?
Yeah, and he gives her that look like, you trifling bitch.
Yeah, all that shit worked really well. And then like when he's out in the car, like in the woods, having to fucking, you know, and things are getting, he's digging in the hole deeper for himself and all that. Like all of that.
Why does he walk back from that? Like,
what do you mean?
So he's out there burying the dude in the wood chipper, the snowblower, and he says, okay, you know, I'll meet you back at the house. And then you see him running the entire time. Did he not take his car? I thought that was a little strange. Never mind. Forget it.
No, I kind of assumed, I always assumed that it was like on or near his property. But when he said like, I'm not home, it was because he just didn't want her to cruise by.
Right. Well, I also think, was there incriminating stuff in the vehicle?
Oh, maybe. Maybe they took the guy's truck. Maybe that's what it was. Was he drove that's the truck out there?
That's what it was. He drove the other guy's vehicle out there.
That's it.
That would make sense.
Right. That's what it was.
And then he ran back in the snow.
Right. Yeah. I knew it was something like that. But yeah, he can't show up in the missing dude's vehicle. I mean,
no,
that'd be a good move.
You fucked.
Then he's just going to show up and his like pants are going to be soaking wet from being in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing too, because Shudder, I mean, has been doing a pretty damn good job of getting properties, you know, because these don't shart. Yeah. These don't shart. Am I talking about Shardy?
That's what I heard.
these don't start, a lot of them. They're, when it says a Shudder original, like I had this idea initially that like, oh, Shudder produced this from the ground up. It's like, no, these films are, they have backers and they're produced, and a lot of them are indie films. Some of them are foreign films and they gain traction. And then Shudder becomes a distributor, a streaming distributor. And so they've done a pretty good job selecting, handpicking stuff like Revenge a couple years back. Mandy became a Shudder original, even though it's, you know, it obviously debuted before that. That being said, there's so many of them where I don't like them to feel like they're from the network. I don't know if this makes sense. Like, I don't like watching the movie and it feeling like it's a fucking made for Shudder movie.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like it has a little bit of like that Shudder stink on it.
Exactly. And I'm not saying Shudder is bad, like it has a, but it's like, I don't want it to feel like it's a made for, yeah, exactly. And I didn't feel that way about this until the end again. Once it got to the end, I'm like, this feels like a really good made for Shudder movie, you know? Because it didn't stick the landing for me. Like, what was that other one? The Possession one, Matt, that's another Shudder original.
Cleansing Hour.
That felt like a made for TV, or in this case, made for Shudder movie.
I think it was supposed to have that kind of feel because it was supposed to be like a live TV show.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not what, but I mean, this one, what I mean is it feels the production values. Well, I'm not saying they're horrible, but it feels like this is going to streaming and that's all it's for.
Yeah. I mean, like, the film does feel very, very front heavy in terms of like thoughtfulness and to filmmaking, because the front two thirds of the film is it's very well put together. Like you've got this sort of, you've got the kidnapping thing with the cops and that's all a very cool thing. And then you've got fucking ghosts showing up and that's also a very cool thing. And then it's like, no, we're going to bring in this dude who's got a fucking dumb comb over and shit's going
to, dude, and he was like,
shit's going to fall apart.
Actor too.
Yeah.
You thought he was pretty effective in his role, honestly.
No, I mean, like I liked him at the beginning, but he kind of, have you ever seen Grandma's Boy?
Yeah.
Definitely. So he felt like awkward, like JP, but without it being intentional. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that makes sense, though. He's a fucking super dork who's like super resentful. So he gets into like the Dark Lord and is like, fuck the world, you know? But then he.
Well, yeah, I just mean like, I don't know. He felt like a bad actor.
The character, and also the character that they're, it's a very tropey character. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, he's a basement. Yeah. He's a basement dweller asking his mom for fucking Pop-Tarts. Cool.
The one who listens to metal and, you know, loves Satan. But like, fuck, I forgot what I was gonna say. I started thinking about Pop-Tarts.
Big surprise, dude.
Is it just gone? I'll come back to it. It'll come back to me.
Okay, well, this dead air brought to you by.
So there was like really. There was very little character development for that guy, with like how intimate the relationship between the elderly couple felt. I felt like they did really nothing to build this, the Ian. They just kind of introduce him at the beginning and then suddenly he pops up again and they just like, he's like brooding in his mom's basement and then they shove all this shit where it's like, oh, he just went crazy and killed his mom and now he's calling forth the Dark Lord. And it felt a little rushed, you know, when everything else felt so deliberate.
Yeah, it's almost like a major part of his characterization is just gone. Like there needed to be a little bit more connective tissue to the. I wanted them to explore their little cult a little bit more. I think that would have been more interesting than some of the Ian stuff.
I remember Matt mentioning, we talked about it a little bit before, that did you say you didn't like how they were just like gathering in the back of that building, like all random?
No, I think I do like that.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. Cause I think, you know, maybe some people have this idea. Oh, like, oh, it wouldn't be like that. It's like, well, how would it be? Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to start somewhere and you can't always just do it in somebody's basement. You know,
it's a fucking, if a building is vacant, and people aren't in there, like, yeah, this shit could be, you'd have no, at any given time, you have no clue what's going on behind someone's fucking walls. You know, I think about it every day, all day, driving around the city.
But see, I kind of like it for another reason, because like later you find out that the main girl who's like leading the thing says she doesn't even really believe in the shit, and you know she's dressed all cute with like a little Girl Scout outfit or something, and you know, so she's very different than who she is, like. Leading these meetings, and Ian even makes note of that. He's like, yeah, you know, she doesn't start with a prayer or a blessing or any of this shit. Like, you know, she doesn't acknowledge all the work I do. So the fact that they're meeting in like the back of some like, you know, rec room or whatever, I kind of like that in relationship to how like inauthentic the group itself feels, you know?
Right.
Right.
Because like Ian's the only one that like, he clearly believes in this shit a lot. And obviously the elderly couple believe in it enough because like they're trying to do this thing for Jackson. But these other people, like, we don't know why they're doing it, but you get a little glimpse of the girl later where she's like, I don't even fucking believe in this shit. And her husband's the one that made the delightful refreshments.
How do you feel about the fucking name?
What name?
The name of the movie?
Jackson?
Any Jack fuckery for Jackson?
I mean, it's okay.
I don't like that shit. I don't like that fucking shit, dude.
I mean, I get it. It makes sense. It's relevant to the movie.
Literally,
it's like it's for Jackson.
I think maybe that's like a nod to The Omen, you know, where they're like, it's all for you, Damien. So it's kind of like, all for you, Damien, anything for Jackson.
Wow.
All for love, you know.
You missed it, dude. It's a love story wrapped in a ghost story, wrapped in a,
that's what it,
I mean, a kidnapping it, mystery.
Dude, tell me that old couple's not a love story. He's like, I'm doing this all for her. Like, she went down and I knew that she wasn't going to come up, so I joined her down. Like, that's, dude, that's the most fucked thing. Like, that's, you know, it's just like me being like, I should just go and let Alia cough in my face so at least she can come home. It's like the sacrifice that you're willing to do just to be, you know, with the other person and make them happy. So don't tell me there's not a fucking love story there.
It's a motherfucking love story.
You just couldn't see it, bro.
Wow.
Let me
bring something to
Amelia.
Our attention. Justin Dick, that director.
Dude, what an unfortunate name.
Well, D-Y-C-K, but it's Dyke.
It's Dick.
Okay. It's Dick.
Either way, his track record, here's the other films he's done, and this is interesting. Bail Enforcers, A Puppy for Christmas, 2016, 48 Christmas Wishes, A Witch's Ball, Christmas Wedding Planner,
dude, he really likes Very holiday Country movies.
A lot of these are like Lifetime movies.
He's been doing Lifetime Christmas rom-coms. A Very Country Christmas, My Perfect Romance, Christmas Catch, Christmas with a View, Christmas with a Prince, Christmas with a Prince Becoming Royal in 2019. And then naturally, he does A Very Country Wedding. and then he does A Christmas Exchange in early 2020. He does Love by Accident, and then all of a sudden he does Anything for Motherfucking Jackson.
I mean, it's a pretty it's a pretty good leap into the horror genre, I will say that.
It is. He needs to stop making that bullshit. He directed it.
But who wrote it?
That is a good question. But
Keith Cooper.
Keith Cooper. Let's see who this motherfucker is. Isn't that crazy though? So this guy was doing a lot of Christmas Hallmark rom-coms.
He did the visual effects for Silent Hill. I thought he wrote Silent Hill.
Okay, here it is. Keith Cooper. He did all the other, he did the Christmas with a Prince, A Very Country Christmas, Christmas Wedding Planner. He's the writer for all this stuff.
My Dad is a Scrooge, The Princess and the Slimy Frog Prince.
So they've been a writer director team for a while. Are these guys like Satan worshipers who just like have been making these stupid fucking Christmas people? And then they're like, you know what, bro? Let's do one for us. You know,
we've
like,
been
what?
Doing so much Santa. Let's do some Satan.
Yeah. What happened?
Did you notice any hidden ghosts in this?
You mean other than the obvious?
You know what? I wasn't looking for them.
Because no, it's like hidden ones. So I was looking at the IMDb stuff just to see if there's anything interesting, and they say that there was three hidden ghosts, and like no one has found and pointed them out. I know I saw one. But I don't know if I saw any others. So I was wondering if you guys had seen them.
Nah. I don't know. This is going to sound like a simpleton thing, but if your ghosts in your film are so hidden that no one sees them,
maybe that's
mission.
Hidden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mission failure.
It's like, what's his name? Adam Wingard did that shit with the new Blair Witch. He like put the map from the original Blair Witch in the movie, and he's like, it's hidden so well no one's gonna find it. If you do, I'll give you $400. And somebody found it. It's like, oh, here it is. It's basically under a bunch of leaves in like a fraction of a shot. But
yeah, well, that
got people to watch the movie and search for it.
I think Anything for Jackson is well worth a watch. I mean, even despite fucky few minutes. But yeah,
So what do you think the ending means?
Good luck, man. That's what I mean. It's borderline incoherent. That's what I mean.
We just decided to do this like less than 24 hours or about 24 hours ago. So obviously none of us had enough time to do any research, but I did look into the demon that they were talking about. It said he was a lesser demon, but he has like a deceptive mind and he's very cunning. And one of the things that makes him the most frightening is he's known as the one who opens all locks. So he can basically open any lock in the entire world, which makes it impossible to run from him. And once he sets his sight on somebody, he relentlessly pursues them no matter how much they put effort into escaping. Once he reaches his victim, he frightens them by presenting them images that would make them go mad.
Yeah, I think she's, I think she's boned.
So
she's boned?
So who was the target though? Cause like if that's the case, I'm starting to think that the dad was the target because he was kind of seeing the majority of the visions, I think. I guess everybody was seeing them though. Yeah, and
everybody was fricked.
Yeah. And then snowblower guy did chase her off the lot. So maybe that weird thing walking across the street was just another lost soul, or it was
I get the feeling that wherever she goes, until either that baby has been possessed, she's got ghosts chasing her.
So is that baby now the spawn of Satan? Is that baby Jackson? Is that baby something else?
Well, the ritual, that's what I mean. The ritual wasn't that's ever what I mean. Completed, right? That, like, that's the whole idea.
I mean, I think it was, because I think when he stabbed the old white bitch, like he said, you know, a mother's a mother. So I think like all he needed to do to complete the ritual was like sacrifice the life of a mother. Cause he stabbed her, and as she was dying, he's like, you know, choose whichever one you want, and then just cleanse the world of these disgusting sheep or something like that. So he had finished calling forth the demon. And you saw, like, as Audrey's laying on the floor, like her back kind of like bulged, almost like it was going to be like wings breaking loose. And then Henry just coughed up blood. And then there was that weird demon with the horns that walked out. Like, what was that fucking demon? It was in the house. Who was it?
Yeah.
Was that Surgot?
It's messy, dude. Like, it's throwing so much lore and so many ghosts and demons at you at the end. It's like, it's hard to decipher what they were trying to get at the end.
Agreed. Absolutely. I mean, at best, that's what it's trying to throw too much. Like, at worst, to me, it's like, let's say it is the son of the devil and the thing was completed. It's still like a lazy, unsatisfying ending.
Yeah.
Even if that was clear, like, cause it's like in all the things where we needed, you know, Satan wants to bring a child into the earth. These are the only people to fucking do it. Like, really? Like this old couple and this fucking goofball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we've seen that doesn't really hold together if that's the case.
Yeah. There are times when a movie's ambiguous ending does positive things. And in this film, unfortunately, it just feels like they had to wrap up a story and couldn't really tie the ends together. And they're like, oh, demon on the road.
They're like, fuck, we have a deadline for our Christmas fucking Hallmark fucking script. Just wrap this shit up. No, but yeah, that's what I mean. It's really, I don't want to say like I'm bent out of shape, but I mean, the rest of the, if the movie had a really satisfying ending and they stuck the fucking landing all crazy, because I don't even know what kind of ending I want to this. You know, I'll be honest, because I'm watching it. That's one of its benefits, too.
The thing is, they didn't know either.
Well, because they keep, I should mention that when you're watching this the first time too, like they are really throwing out the rule book, like meaning the plot mechanisms that happen. It's like, oh, that took a left turn. That took a left turn. That took a left turn. Like it's got tropes. There's tropey stuff. There's those characters. But as far as, you know, and these are very odd protagonists to fucking have in a movie, by the way, also, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
our
protagonists are the old fucks trying to that have kidnapped this lady. So yeah,
God, that opening scene, man, that was so good. Cause like you have this old timey song playing and like, you know, the couple is like having this very cute civil discussion about like the hem on his pants. And he's like, oh, I'm watching the time, dear. Don't worry. And then suddenly they're dragging a woman upstairs and bashing her in the face with a fucking candlestick,
which I don't think. Right? The other thing is, I don't think that he has necessarily got the strength to, drag that poor woman into the house, dude, unless he actually drugged her somehow.
Like, yeah, like dragging, you know, just a regular woman would be hard enough for him, but like she's also pregnant, so
yeah,
dude, extra weight.
Pregnant women also have retard strength when they need it, dude. That's that's fact.
That's what you said about me a couple weeks ago. I have retard strength.
Fact.
Yeah, you know, I feel like less people would get abducted if they just went dead weight. They struggle, and then that makes it easier. You just go limp, and then like you're harder to carry.
Just shit. They might just shit and piss yourself, and you know.
Yeah, that too. If what was it? Split taught us anything.
You might just like kill you and leave you then. But I mean, you'd still be dead. So you wouldn't get abducted. You'd just get killed. You'd just
be fucking dead as shit. Yeah.
I mean, but at least it's quick, you know.
Right. It's better to live on your feet than die on your knees, right?
It's better to live. It's better to die shitting yourself than. well, that's anything for Jackson. You know, in a bit of an impromptu episode that we had to record because of the Rona. Next week we'll be doing our year-end wrap-up. My God.
Yes, we'll each do our top five favorite films of the year and top five worst films.
Do you think we're going to have a hard time coming up with a collective top and a collective bottom?
I don't. No. I don't top, personally. I think top, I can already. It, yeah, I could almost guess what it would be right now based on what I just heard this episode.
Same.
I mean, I don't know. If we go by points, you know what I'm saying? If each
I feel like the collective top will be easy. The collective bottom might be a little more difficult.
I think the collective bottom is pretty standard too.
Right? I don't know, dude. Because
just because he hasn't seen a couple George of them.
Hasn't seen the movies that we've seen.
That's true. Right.
You should. Yeah, you should. You
George,
should
well, I know. You should I, watch the turn. You
I know which the one I'm nominating the for legacy. The worst of the year. Like, there's no question. So, all right,
Craft Legacy.
We had some real contenders in that category this year too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
my top three worst are all fucking really bad movies in very special ways.
The funny thing is, I was going through my list, and it's like. Finding ones that I wanted to put on my top contenders was hard, but it's like the bottom five just jumped out.
Yeah.
And like the best thing is if you like go
it's
to
inevitable. Like,
if you go to a list of like all the movies that came out in 2020, the horror movies, and you rank them by like rating, it's the ones that are like in the bottom 10 anyway. Just trash
you mean,
movies.
By rating, you mean like as a IMDb or all that kind of stuff?
As like a Letterboxd rating.
Oh, I got you. No, yeah, that's what I mean. It does kind of fall into a consensus a lot of the time, dude. Not all the time, but
it's some of the time.
Sometimes
we'll see.
Trash is trash.
It'll be fun either way. I always enjoy the end of the year episode.
Like the Mountain Kings is trash.
All right.
Well, this year, hopefully nobody hooks a beer can at my face.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. 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 Well, just don't invite your wife because it's the first time you guys are gonna be seeing each other for a while, so you might get a fucking
I might get my mustache rubbed off from friction.
Hell motherfucking yeah. His face.
God, well, that's episode 291. We'll see you next week. Ugh. Bye.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.